The old school bell reminds us that it's time for lesson number 23 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And in this session, we're going to be talking about a lesson that was written on March 12th, or written for March 12th, 1922, by E.A. Elam. And the title of the lesson is Amos Warns Israel. And he says it is a temperance lesson. I'm going to explain in a few minutes what a temperance lesson is. I'm Bill Boyd, the superintendent of this radio Bible school. This school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We begin each week with a Sunday morning Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m. and an evening worship at 6 p.m. We also have a Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, and the preacher at Rock Cliff. And so, as the old schoolmaster would say, this class will now come to order. This lesson from March 12, 1922, is called a temperance lesson. Now, temperance is a Bible word. The idea means self-controlled. But in 1922, the idea of temperance had to do with controlling yourselves around intoxicating beverages. You know the very name of that, intoxicating? You know what that means? Well, they have the word toxic in there. That means poison. These are poisonous beverages. When you're drinking alcohol, you are drinking poison. And that's why they're called intoxicating. In 1922 was during the period of Prohibition, but many were still getting a hold of alcohol and indulging themselves and causing all kind of damages. And now that has been, Prohibition has been lifted, and alcohol now flows freely in this country to the glee of some, but to the great distress and misery of others. Now, I know those whose families have been wrecked and ruined by alcohol abuse. In fact, it's America's number one drug problem. The legal drug is the drug problem. And people not only harm themselves, they destroy their families, and they can harm others as well. In automobile accidents and such, there's a death toll that we suffer because of alcohol. This stuff is dangerous, and we need to control ourselves. We don't need to take these kind of drugs that do all this kind of damage. We don't have to wait until there's a law that says not to. We have God's law, and it tells us to be temperate in all things, and that would include the foolish use of dangerous drugs for recreational purposes. Now, every now and then, someone tries to tell me some reason that the Bible justifies the consumption of alcohol for the sake of pleasure. I want to challenge you to do this. You let me know if you think that. I'm going to give you my email, and you can either email me or text me at this email. Just enter this email like a phone number, and you tell me why you think the Bible allows you to consume an alcoholic beverage. Now, here it is. It's WMHBOYD@AOL.com. Okay, I'm going to give that to you in just a minute. It is foolish to consume alcohol. There is a text for this lesson. The golden text is this. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whosoever erreth thereby is not wise. That's Proverbs 20 and verse 1. If you think you have a reason that you know why the Bible says that it's all right for you to consume alcohol, let me know. Here's it is again. You can either text me or email me at this place. It's WMHBOYD@AOL.com. And if you give me that reason, what I'm going to do is read that reason over the radio and show just how foolish that is. The Bible does no such thing. And we're going to look at this temperance lesson. I tell you, they used to have temperance lessons back then to discourage people from consuming this beverage. Maybe if we'd had a few more temperance lessons, we wouldn't have liquor stores in McMinnville now. They weren't here when I moved here. But they're here now, and it is not a compliment to our community. Let's look and see what Elam had to say in this temperance lesson called Amos Warns Israel. This is Amos chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and to them that are secure in the mountains of Samaria, the notable men of the chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel come. Pass ye to Calneth and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are they better than these kingdoms, or is their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat lambs out of the flock, and calves out of the midst of the stall, that sing idle songs to the sound of the viol, and that invent for themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with the chief oils, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore shall they now go captive with the first that go captive, and the revelry of them that stretch themselves shall pass away. The Lord Jehovah hath sworn by himself, saith Jehovah, the God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob, and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. Amos was preaching like this around 785 B.C. Looking at this little Sunday school lesson from 1922, it begins with a few words on Amos and his book. Here we go. This lesson furnishes a fine opportunity to study the book of Amos. This book is direct and pointed. It can soon be read through. Who was Amos? Why did he prophesy? Where and when did he prophesy? His name means burden. It's different from Amos, the father of Isaiah, in Isaiah 1:1, which means strong. The names of Amos's parents are not given. He was a native of Tekoa, a town in the kingdom of Judah, about 12 miles south of Jerusalem and about 6 miles south of Bethlehem. He was not a subject of the kingdom of Israel, but he was sent there to prophesy. He was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees, Amos 1:1 and 7:14 and 15. He kept a sycamore orchard. The sycamore tree is not like our sycamore. It was a fruit tree whose fruit was something like the fig, but sweet and watery, but not very valuable. Amos was a humble man who made no pretensions to be a teacher and a leader. He was the author of the famous saying, I was no prophet, neither was I the son of a prophet. He meant, as the margin states, that he was not one of the school of the, not one of the sons of the prophets. He had never attended any of the schools of the prophets with a view of making a prophet. He was a righteous and God-fearing man who studied God's will and loved the truth and hated iniquity. He was moved by the Spirit of God to prophesy against other nations, especially against Israel. He said, the Lord Jehovah hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? Amos 3 and verse 8. This is similar to Paul's expression in 1 Corinthians 9:16. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. When Amos prophesied in Bethlehem the destruction of the king's house by the sword and the downfall of the kingdom, Amos 7:7-11, Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, informed the king that Amos had conspired against him, and the land was not able to bear his words. He also invited Amos to leave the country and return to Judah and prophesy there. It was then that Amos told Amaziah that he was not a prophet or one of the sons of the prophet, but that God took him from following the flock and sent him to prophesy unto Israel. He then foretold the downfall of Amaziah's family. He prophesied during the reigns of Uzziah, king of Judah, and Jeroboam II, son of Joash, king of Israel. 2 years before the earthquake, Amos 1:1, the reign of these kings are given in 2 Kings 14:23 to 15, verse 12, and in 2 Chronicles 26. The prophet Jonah preceded Amos. Hosea was contemporary with him, but followed him as a prophet. Joel, it is thought, may have belonged to this period. Amos was a brave and historic prophet. He fearlessly pronounced God's solemn words of condemnation against Israel. He very wisely began by prophesying against other nations, namely Damascus of the Syrians, Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, and Ekron of the Philistines, Tyre, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and Judah. This showed that God was just and impartial in his judgments. Here's the explanatory notes. Number one, the financial prosperity and moral and spiritual depravity of Israel. Let us first read with verses 1 through 6 the following passage. And I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith Jehovah. As Amos 3:15. Thus saith Jehovah, for three transgressions of Israel, yea, for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have sold the righteous for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes. They that paint after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek, and a man and his father that go into the same maiden to profane my holy name. And they lay themselves down beside every altar upon clothes, taken in pledge, and in the house of their God they drink the wine of such as have been fined. That's Amos 2, verses 6 through 8. Hear this, O ye that would swallow up the needy, and cause the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and dealing falsely with balances of deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes, and sell the refuge of the wheat? Amos 3, 4 through 6. The wealth and extent of the kingdom under Jeroboam II were greater than they had been since the division or since the days of Solomon. He restored the border of Israel from the entrance of Hamath under the sea of Arabah, according to the word of Jehovah the God of Israel, which he spake to his servant Jonah the son of Amittai the prophet, who was of Gath-hepher. Hamath was far to the north of Damascus on the river Ontres and on the sea of Arbana. It was the eastern arm of the Red Sea. The Arbar was a valley extending from Mount Hermon to the sea. In the Authorized Version, this is called the plain, except in Joshua 18:18. With this great wealth, there was great sin, covetousness, greed, drunkenness, licentiousness, debauchery, lying, and murder preyed upon the natural body like cancerous sores. There was no truth or mercy or knowledge of God left in the land. Hosea 4, 1-3. The shameful worship of Baal and the abominable worship of Ashtaroth had supplanted the pure worship of the true God, leaving the people spiritually impoverished. Vice flourished in Bethel and Samaria, and like plants in a hotbed. That's all we'll have time for today. Make sure you make it to the next class. As the old schoolmaster would say, You may now be dismissed.